So welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us for our third and final informational session for the CMIPV Prediction Challenge. This meeting will be recorded, and our past two informational sessions, we went into a bit more detail on the background of the project, as well as the submission process. So if you weren't able to attend, we do have recordings of those meetings available on our Solution Center as well. Next slide, please. Here's the prediction challenge timeline. So we are here at the last Zoom informational meeting. We will have one more office hours session next week, which we'll talk about a little bit later today. And then the final submission due date is November 22nd. Next slide, please. Here's our agenda for today's meeting. We'll start off with data sets and data access, and then we'll go into the submission process and our evaluation process. And then we have a few final reminders, and then we'll jump into a Q&A to answer any questions. And from here, I'll hand it over to Pramod.
Thank you, Shilpi. And thank you, everyone, for giving a lot of amazing support on the Solution Center and discussing a lot of nice queries for the data sets and other aspects of the challenge. Let us begin with the recap of some of the things which we talked in the first two informational sessions. The first thing is the data set and how we provide the data access. So this is a brief data pipeline that we have. So we have data sets from the CMIPV experiments, which is running from last 5 years. We have in total four data sets, and we have a lot of data from the external experiments, which we run in the beginning of the project. And after having running these experiments, we put together all this data into a QC pipeline where we standardize IDs and different file formats so that we have a nicely processed raw data. And that raw data goes into the CMIPV database. Now, this raw data has a lot of variability in terms of the years or the cohorts they have been recruited since they have been recruited in different years. So at some cases, we might have to do the normalization per study or per assay. There are a lot of features which might not be give the actual signals. They might be noise. And in some cases, we might have to remove those features. So we have all the features listed in the raw data. And then by having some funneling, the checking the coefficient of variation, whether the genes are protein coding or not. So a lot of these assay-specific and omics-specific filterings we apply. And then we have the actual represented set of the features which can be used for the model development. Also, another thing, since, as I just mentioned, the data is coming from the different cohorts, so they have a lot of technical variations that lead to batch effects in the data. And we also introduced batch effect correction pipeline when we process this data. So we provided the raw data as well as we harmonized this data. And we provided two kinds of harmonized data. One is harmonized data where data is only mapped for the similarity in terms of the matrix sizes. And to keep the feature numbers and feature IDs exact same across all four cohorts. And that ended up having the harmonized data, which you can always use that. And also we have the process data or batch corrected data, where we use this harmonized data to further make it prominent for the downstream model building. And we put together raw data as well as harmonized and processed data into the CMIPV pipeline. And then we provide this data set for the CMIPV contest. And here we have the training data, which is coming from the previous years, which includes the pre-vaccination information of our immune response and the metadata information for all the cohorts, which includes day zero, just before giving the vaccine. And also we included day minus 40, 14 and minus 30 to have the robust baseline as signatures. And we also provided the vaccine response data, which is collected where we collected the blood specimen post vaccination at day one, day three, day seven, day 14 and day 28. And we provided all this the pre and the post vaccine response data for the training data sets to contestants. to you. And also we provided the challenge data where you have to make the predictions. So for this, we all just provided the baseline data on day 0, day minus 14, and day minus 30. And we held back the vaccine, post-vaccine response data, which we will use for the model evaluation. So we announce challenge, we ask contestants to construct their models, and the submission deadline is in 2 weeks. So when you will submit your submissions or models in the standardized format we provided in terms of the submitting ranks. So when you submit your rank files, we will evaluate your models using the predicted value which you submit, and also the data that we held back, and that we announce the winners. So we'll talk about all this aspect one by one. A little bit more on the raw data and the process data, how you can identify these data sets on the website. So as I mentioned, the training data set that comprise of three cohorts, 2020, 21, and 22, and the challenge data comprise of 23. And this day, since you have seen that this data set is coming from the different cohorts or different years, it needs careful processing and normalization. So we provided both the raw data and the harmonized data, and also the process data with the batch effect connections. And we made this available on the website. I'll just quickly go on the website just to navigate how you can find them. So if you click this link, it's here. And if you want to find it on the website, go on the website, click on the prediction challenge. Then on the left panel, you'll see data and resources. And if I click there, it will take me to the data resources subsection on the prediction challenge page, where we have discussed the study design and multi-omics data sets, then the challenge data set, which is split into two groups, training and challenge, a little bit description about this. And then you'll find how you can access the raw data set and then the other resources. Quickly, the raw data set. So if I click on the STPP side, so it takes me to the same place. So here you can find the raw data set, which are organized into two subfolders, training and challenge data set. And here you can find all the assay-specific files in TSV format. Similarly, challenge data set is also provided in the TSV file. Then we also have the harmonized and processed data, where we have provided this data into TSV files. First, I'll go to the harmonized data, where you'll find this data set has been provided into long format, which is very close to the database format. And we also provided the wide format, which is close to the matrix format. So you can choose to use whatever format you like or easy to use for your approach. It's just that all the files are the same, and the data within the long and wide format. For example, here in case of PBMC cell frequency, it is exact same. It's just that it provided in different shapes. Similarly, we have the batch cut effect corrected TSV files, which are provided for the use. And here itself, you will find the submission examples, two files we provided, which we discussed during the last information session. Basically, we run the control models using the age and the baseline information of the task, here IgG, and we provided the ranking files for those. Then we also have the submission template, which we'll use for converting your predicted values into ranks and put them into the file format in here. We'll talk about this one by one. So this way, we have all information about the data and data sets have been which we put on the website. Then we also provided the codes that we generated to that we used to generate the process data. So the mostly this code has been written in the R. So we have put together this RPUB file, which we made available on the website. And also we provided the GitHub repo, where we dumped all the codes, the functions, and all the references, and then the steps explained nicely. So all the details have been put together in the GitHub file. So feel free to use them as well and modify as suited for your need. The quick recap for the prediction tasks. So for The CMIPB main challenge, we have six tasks which are categorized into three categories with respect to the ASEAN omics they have been from. So first group of tasks are from the antibody titers, where we ask to rank individuals by IgG antibody against the PT toxin that we detect in plasma post day 14 post booster vaccination. Similarly, 1.2 task where we ask the fold change value of IgG PT that we detect in plasma as compared to the baseline values. Similarly, we have cell frequency task, those also coming into the group. The first one, where we ask the rank based on the predicted values of frequency of monocytes on day one post vaccination. And similarly, the second task, where we ask the fold change value as compared to the baseline. And similarly, we have the gene expression task, where we ask the ranking based on the CCL3 on day three. And 3.2, where we ask fold change values day three compared to day zero. So feel free to attempt as many tasks you'd like to add. Our submission template is flexible. It takes all six ranks or tasks attempted, or even it is few. In the process, we also introduce bonus task, which is optional, and it separates from the main challenge, and it will be evaluated independently. In the bonus task, which is a T cell specific task, where we ask you to predict and rank individual based on the TH1, TH2 polarization ratio on day 30 or day 28 post booster vaccination, which is task number 4.1. And we have created a separate entry into the submission template. So feel free to use this template to put insert the ranking of this task. Next thing, so after you prepared your submission template, the submission process, which has the first step where you create an account using the on the website. If you go on the top left or top right, you'll find a sign in to CMIPB option. If you click on that, it will ask you to sign up. And when you hit the sign up button, there are two options. One is to put the manual entries about email address, the username, name and passport. And if you hit when you hit on the create your account, it will open account for you. And also, you can use the single sign on option or SSO option using the Google option or Gmail. Using that also, you can open the account. And after that, it will make you sign in and give it give you it will give you more options. Quickly go to the website to show you more on this. Go to the CMIPB. So since I have already created account, when I click on the sign in to CMIPB, so it will give me options of this is my username, and then it will give you option for the submit prediction. When you hit submit prediction, so this nice prompt, this page opens up, and it will give you a two-step process of submission. The first, where how you can prepare a submission file. So you have created your models, you run your analysis, and now you have your ranks ready for the submission. You download this submission template. Some time to open. So the submission file looks like this, which has a subject ID and the associated metadata information for those subject IDs, and it has columns specific to the task 1.1 until 3.2. This is for the main challenge, and 4.1 for the bonus task. So feel free to insert your rankings in here. And if you want more information about like how to fill ranks and how those ranks look like, you can go ahead and see the example files by clicking in here. So when you have filled out your form, just upload from choose file option and submit it from here. And after you submit your submission, you can access it will give you it will send the exact same file in your email, and which you can also access through your email. And also at the same time, if you click on the access past submission, it will list all your submission. It shows the last five submissions you made, and the last one which will be highlighted in the yellow, which we'll use for the evaluation. Okay, now, as I mentioned, the last file which we or last or most recent submission will be considered for the evaluation. Let's see, this file looks like this. So it has the complete submission. What I mean by complete submission includes rankings for all 7 tasks. I didn't show the 3 tasks due to the space, but yeah, let's see, this is complete. And one task, 2.1, where you can see there are 3 blank values. Basically, the contestant couldn't submit or rank those individuals, maybe because of in the filtering data filtering, those particular subjects had to be removed, and you ended up submitting file like this. So how we approach the data imputation part is to make sure all the contestants are equally considered for final evaluation. So we look into these prompts or these NA values, and we calculate median values for the ranks submitted on that particular task. And after we calculate the rank is 29 in this case for this task. Then we replace these NA values with the imputed rank or the median rank values. This way, you have submitted the predicted ranks in the submission template format. And we have calculated the actual ranks using this 2 rank list. We will calculate the Spearman correlation coefficient, and as a second step, we will calculate the points. So if you are the task winner, we will give the 8 points, and if you are between the 98% confidence interval of the highest Spearman correlation coefficient attempted or observed for that particular task, you'll be assigned 6 points. And if your Spearman correlation coefficient for that task is significant, purely significant, we will assign 1 point. This way, the maximum points can be assigned per task are 8, and maximum points assigned for all the tasks combined together is 48 for 6 tasks. And after having this point distribution for all the contestants, here we say as a model 1, 2, 3, 4, the number of submitted models, and these are the 6 tasks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we have a nice matrix where we put together all the points that we calculate using step 1 and 2. And we have now the final points calculated or just summarized, summed all these points. And this way, the model 2, which has accumulated most point 27, so we will assign this model or this team as a winner. The 21, which is the second winner, and 18 as the third winner. This way, we will identify winners after 2 weeks of conclusion of the contest. Then we have some final reminders to talk more about. So after we identify winners, after conclusion of the contest, we have placed 3 winner prizes for the main contest. The first prize will win $3,000. A second prize will win $1,500, and third prize place team will win the $500. And the bonus task winner will win the $500. And this is a quick note on the submission prizes. So you will need to submit your code on the CMIBB GitHub, and also provide the Git model summaries using the designated summary sheet that we will send after conclusion of the contest. To claim the prizes. And in the event of ties at the first place, second place, or the third place, we have some rules that we like amount splitting rules which we put together on the Solution Center. Yeah, feel free to read that information on the Solution Center. And after conclusion of the third challenge, we will write a third challenge summary manuscript. Which will basically some summarization of all the outcomes of the third challenge, including the model summaries, which will have the precise precious information about the work which you will have been doing from the last 3 months. So yeah, and all the participants with at least one significant Spearman correlation, either in the main task or in the bonus task, which will be included as the invited as the co-authors. And when the contest is over, we will send a separate email to request you for the model summaries and the how to put the code on the CMMVB website. Yeah, and this way, the third challenge summary manuscript has a goal to improvise computational modeling approaches on for the immune response prediction. So now we are here on the number 8 in the informational session. We have office hours next week. Yeah, thanks for making past 2 office hours successful with a lot of your queries. And yeah, we're happy to answer more queries on the office hour, which is coming next week. Yeah, and now the final submission date is arriving, I believe, in 2 weeks. And we will announce winners, and the we'll also release the challenge data set or test data set on December 6th. And after conclusion of the challenge, we have short-term goals. The distribution of prizes and certificates to all the teams or members of all the teams, which will happen just after the competition is over, and we also start working on the third challenge manuscript, which will be coming in December, and we hope to cover it as soon as possible. And we also have the long-term goals where the team, which gathered a lot of experience and learning from organizing vaccine response prediction challenge through the CMMVB consortium. We also plan to organize future computational models and immunity challenges. And we would love for you to participate and provide your expertise in building those models as well. And this will be mostly focusing on the influenza immunity, since this is in alignment with the NIH priorities. And these are the summary of all the resources that we put together on the website. Yeah, starting from the basic information, like learning about the CMIBB as a project, and the pertussis vaccination, pertussis infection. All those details are put together in here. We have understand the data, how to access data. Then we have specific pages for the prediction challenge and all other things which we do on this project. Okay, and I think with this, I would like to thank the CMMVB team from Kleinsen Lab, Berry's Lab, and A Lab, and Peter's Lab. A lot of people are putting a lot of efforts on this project. Thank you all for your coordinated efforts. With this, I'll open the floor for the questions.
Hi, Pramod. Really good
Hi, Marcus.
presentation. Thank you.
Okay.
So yeah, my first question would be about like the next idea, if there are going to be another challenge like this, but you already like answered that, so that's very exciting. And so my other question would be, you can team up, right? And so how that works, or it's going to be once a mission from the team, or each person from the team can submit their predictions, and so that after that, if they one of them got like the prize, they're going to split it. How that works with team?
Right. So the team prizes are like the prizes are assigned per team or per submission. Now it's up to you how you want to form teams. Like few people put together and submit one model, so that is as a team. Or if you want to submit more than one model, so you can do that also, forming a different team. Or if you have the possibility of joining, taking more people, like other people, can do that as well. Only restriction we have is that one person can remain in maximum 3 teams, not beyond that. I hope that answers your question.
Yep, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Marcus. It looks like Leandro has his hand up.
Hi, yes, I have a question. Thank you so much for this talk. It's amazing. I really like it so much. It's going to be very useful for our job. I have a question about the batch effects. Could you explain a little bit more about how do you did the this process?
Sure. I can leverage website information just to go over that. So if you go on here, I just go to the GitHub. So here, so the first step is the data harmonization, where we standardize all the data formats just to make sure the feature names, sample identifiers, then everything is consistent for all four cohorts, which we also do using the feature mapping. So this way, we make sure the rows, which are the feature names, which are consistent in all four cohorts, so that it makes sure that you have the consistent information all in all four cohorts. After that, we do the first step, which is the data imputation. So for this, which we do like assay by assay, and the assay by assay, and at the same time, the cohort by cohort. So we use the impute KNN method to impute all the missing data. And after that, we perform the data normalization, where we take the median values for all like individual features as a normalization factor, and we do that. And after that, we apply the batch effect corrections, like combining all four data sets. And this way, we provide, and for the correcting batch effects, we use the combat, and for RNA-seq data, we use the combat-seq. Yeah, I hope that answers your query.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Thanks, Leandro. Are there any more questions? Okay, if there are no more questions, we can go ahead and end this call, but just as a quick reminder.
I will continue.
Oh, Mihita, go ahead.
The concern about the data imputation. So you mentioned that that there are some missing values, right? So I think that we aren't different some set and the first specimen, and there is some set. No, there is some set, and there is specimen. The example that we have a value at and about the data at the 13. Now this value in the same set at that particular time point. So do you use the median the other same set to fill in that missing information?
Thank you for putting together this nice question. Just to repeat, to know I correctly understand question. So do I use the like median value of a particular time point to impute value for a missing subject, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what how we do that? So we first do it assay by assay, as I just mentioned. And for that assay, and for that particular cohort, if something is missing, we don't use the median values, but we use the impute KNN method. So I think it is more probabilistic approach, where using the KNN method, they impute the values.
Okay, so how do you account for outliers?
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's a good point. So before we apply the KNN method, we make sure that all the features have been assigned a minimum value, or the LOD, lower limit of detection, which is the half value of the LOD for that particular feature. So we do that first step just to make sure the lowest value are or lowest values are gone, and after that we use the KNN to just to make sure that the data is normalized correctly or the imputed correctly.
Okay. Because I was wondering what if the system said it might be an outlier.
Sure, but this has been done like very standardized way. I would encourage contestants, you all, to look for those the higher outliers, and just to make sure you treat them nicely. We did it in very standardized format process, yeah, without picking up outliers. Just to make my point. Like, if you are expert in antibody titers and if you see an outlier beyond certain value, yeah, so make that choice to remove that outlier.
Okay, thank you for mood.
Thanks, mate. That was a question.
Thanks, Mahida. Are there any other questions?
I have a follow-up question actually from Mahita. So when you do the imputation, do you do it per cohort or do you do it with all the cohorts together?
We do it per cohort, per assay.
Okay. And do you do imputation for the challenge data set as well, or only the training data set?
So the challenge data set is pretty much it doesn't need any imputation, so that
Oh,
we
I see.
saw.
Okay.
Yeah, so all the imputation mostly happens for the features which are not there in 2020 data, but all of them are present in 21 data. So where we see the features are completely missing because of the shift in the initial cohort and the later cohorts, which are specifically designed for the CMIPB. So that is the only aspect where we need a lot of imputation. Otherwise, all the experiments that we do are almost complete with the feature labels and all the subjects that we have with respect to the time points.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nikki. Any other questions?
Quickly, if you have more questions, feel free to join our office hours. Those are really interesting. You can ask questions, and I'm happy to go over the website to find out to give you the exact information what you exactly need. Yeah, and we can go over all those details together. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye bye.